disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
O life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Presence. Heavenly Father, we again thank you that you always take the initiative. You are ever moving in our lives and our hearts and our circumstances, working with us both to will do for your good pleasure. And Lord, we thank you again that our meeting is a divine appointment. Help us, Father, to hear, to understand, to apply and mix faith with that which we hear. Lord, our desire is to change and conform more and more into your likeness. We confess the blood of Jesus over the room this morning and over all the saints who are coming in and over the connection. And we thank you now for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. Well, I'd like in many ways to continue on what I was touching on Wednesday. And as you know, we're going over very much the deeper life, the teachings, the principles of the deeper life. We have to be reminded of this because at times we can have short memories. And we can forget certain things. But I'm calling this teaching this morning, what is our experience of identification with the body? What is our experience of identification with the body? You know, the thing we must remember about the Christian faith, above all other faiths or religions, is that it is a faith, a belief that is supernatural. Our new birth, our relationship with Almighty God, is a supernatural work from beginning to end. And this is what sorts it all out from other religions. The new birth is a supernatural experience. New affections and attitudes is a supernatural experience. A complete turning around and being separated from this world and the spirit of this age is a supernatural experience. The same as reading the Word of God is a supernatural experience. Our fellowship, our coming together, our identification with the body should be a supernatural experience. Everything about this walk should have a supernatural experience. And if it isn't, then one has to seriously ask the question whether you are supernaturally born again. Because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that there is an enemy who is attacking and trying to suggest that God is a liar, and of course he works through the mind. And we also know that we walk so often very much on our own in this world facing all these giants. That should just tell us more and more how God has to supernaturally empower us to be able to face all these forces, all these negative things, plus these attacks in the mind. That has to be a supernatural experience and preservation over our lives to be able to continue to walk as a Christian day by day, overcoming. This is why I'm stressing so much about the Christian faith is a supernatural experience and encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And this should be your experience if you are truly born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, and found in the second Adam, Jesus Christ himself. Now, I'm laboring this for the simple reason of the title of this teaching this morning. What is our experience of identification with the body? Because the deeper life should be experienced. It is not merely a teaching, another meeting, listening to another sermon. It is about our being changed. Scripture is very clear about how we are being changed from glory into glory. This Greek word metamorphosis, to be changed. And that changing is changing us into something. We're identified with Christ, and that is what we're changed unto. So this idea of being changed doesn't mean that we're just being changed because we're having a different mindset, or we're thinking about something different, or I'll try something different. That's not what it's about. This is a whole entirety of being, spiritually speaking, where we are continually being changed, identified into his likeness. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ. This is why the Christian faith is a supernatural faith. And we must never forget this, whatever we're going through, whatever the trials or whatever. So, what is our experience of identification with the body? That's the question that we raised today. And Lord willing, we're going to answer some of this, because this is a huge question. You see, identification to Christ is vital. And so often, identification is limited just to our identification with Jesus Christ. And of course, rightly so. But if we are truly identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to find that we also have to be identified to his body, which he has left spiritually on the earth, where two or three are gathered together in his name. And that is the foundation of which we stand upon. That rock that Jesus spoke to Peter and said, upon that rock I will build my body, my called out ones, in other words, because he had received a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Again, a supernatural experience that Peter had. And your standing upon this rock of the Lord Jesus Christ is also a revelation that is given to you through the Word, by the Holy Spirit, to be an experience of something every day in this life while we walk by faith. So it's more than just being identified with Christ. It's vital that we experience this into his body. And this is the least understood experience. And it's difficult for most Christians to accept this one. Most Christians, sadly, in the world, have very little understanding of the true functioning of the body of Christ. The church today is so much an organization of which you join. But Scripture clearly shows us it is an organism. It is like a body. And we shall look at this, of course, in 1 Corinthians 12, of which Paul speaks of. But very few believers are really experiencing that baptismal experience functioning into a body where they are identified to the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not identified to some leader or some denomination or creed or whatever it is, which sadly is most Christians' experience. And the enemy has really worked on this one. This is how he keeps the body of Christ divided. By this denominational organization mentality and thinking. But he's bringing all of these partitions down in these last days. And he's showing us that through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that he again is wanting to take his rightful place and position as head over his people. So that our covering is the blood of the Lamb and not some pastor or minister or elder. Of course, they're set into the body to encourage and help. There are those ministries. We know Ephesians 4 shows us that God has set the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the perfecting, maturing, and equipping of ministry for the saints. But all those ministries are there to point you to one person, and that is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And they most certainly are not placed there to lord it over the flock, which sadly goes on. But this is the least understood and the least experienced in Christendom today. I've encountered this problem more than anything in my ministry over the years. And I still think, even in full gospel assembly, God is still having to work and get our attention with areas with regard to this, which we're talking about. And this, of course, is why we're raising it up again this morning. It is this concept that separates. And this happens because they haven't made total commitment and consecration, and they haven't settled the cross in their life. If you have settled discipleship, if you have settled the cross, which is the way you walk daily, then you will begin to understand your identification, your baptismal experience into the body that God places you in. It becomes an experience. It becomes supernatural. What do I mean by this? Well, it means that whatever it looks like, however ridiculous the body might appear, and I can assure you that FGA in the natural looks peculiar, looks ridiculous, and it shouldn't work. But if you have been supernaturally baptized, you are experiencing the body, the unity, the oneness, that you know you're an arm or a foot or a leg or an eye functioning in it. That is your supernatural experience of the body. And you know why you're there. You are not there simply as a spectator. You're not there getting out of it what you want. But you are there in spirit and heart to minister, to be used, to be available to your brother and sister. And you're there to worship and glorify the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That can and should be the motive of our fellowshipping and coming together. Any other motive other than that, you will not experience what the body of Christ is about. And the body of Christ can only be experienced to disciples who truly put their hands to the plough, who are looking forward, whose eyes are seeking the kingdom of God. They are the ones who will experience this true body, this body that Jesus spoke about, that he spoke to Peter. This is why we are a called out people. This is why the scriptures tell us, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Sadly, much of the universal church that we see today is harlotry in nature, is unclean. And the message of this hour and now is God's calling a remnant away so that they will come under the true headship of Jesus Christ and not under some man, an organization, and denomination. God is going to judge that in the last days. You've only got to read the book of Revelation. We serve a holy God, and God separates and calls us unto holiness. Even that is a supernatural working of the new birth in your life. These are not things that you can muster up. These are not good ideas. These are experiences that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered to do these things, else it can never happen. We couldn't even have a meeting today, even online, unless God empowers by the Spirit for this to happen. It can't happen. That's why most of these rooms, sadly, are all about debating and arguing and bickering. That's not what the Christian faith is about. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And we're going to follow where we know the Spirit of the living God is speaking. Why? Because it's supernatural. It is not something that you can achieve or do in yourself. It is God who initiates, who goes before, who does that for us. And it is the same with our fellowship. It is the same when we come together in unity and oneness. So the question is this our experience? Am I understanding my identification to the body of Christ? That is the question. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Actually, I will go from verse 12 and I will read some of this through. Here it speaks about the unity of the body. It speaks about the body being a living organism, not organization. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So the body is one, and we submit in unity and oneness to that oneness. The same is as the Godhead is one, so we submit also to that unity and oneness. And I might add, that has to be a supernatural work by God, as we will never agree. I can assure you. So God has to work in our minds, in our understanding, as we read the Word of God. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So the body, the experience of your function in the church, in the body, is a baptismal experience. It's quite clear here what he says. Now, is that your experience? If it isn't, then ask the Lord to make that your experience. So you are baptized by the Spirit into the one body of Christ. Whether Jew, Greek, whether slave, free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. So it doesn't matter what colour, what your background is, your education is, we all partake of the one Spirit. We drink of the Spirit. The oneness. We partake of the Word in oneness, in agreement. This has to be supernatural. It can't work otherwise. And you need that in your life if you are to go on with this. And this is where we need to draw the life of God through the Holy Spirit in our relationship, our walk, our yielding to Him. Else it won't work, brothers and sisters. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So he speaks about the body in spirit that is one in God, but in that body there are many members who are baptized into the oneness. Because he goes on and he says it here in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am out of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as it pleases him. Or he's pleased by that. So he sets you in. You may be an eye, you may be an arm, you may be a foot, you may be whatever. He has set you in as it pleases him. It's a divine work that God does in your life, my life, setting me to function in the church. That again is supernatural. Now, is that your experience? I can't answer that for you. I can only present it to you. If it isn't, then praise God, in his mercy and grace, you can change all of that. And it's called prayer. It's called getting before him and praying and seeking him about these things. And he goes on, if they were all members, how would they function? So God makes no mistake how he places us into the body. He, of course, also gives us natural gifts and abilities, which we have. We know that naturally we have certain things that we can excel in. Others may not so, or whatever it is. All of that can have a functional part. But initially, you are important because you're an arm. You're important because you are a hand. You're important because you are a foot. And if you lose any of these things to your body knows it. You know if you lose a hand because you are incapacitated. It doesn't mean you die. It just means that you cannot function as well as you once did. And that's what we can do to one another in the body of Christ. If our heart and spirit isn't right towards the body, or if we hold grudges against our brother or our sister, or we decide to turn up to the meetings when it suits me, that is what we do to each other. Now, again, that is supernatural. Do you feel that? Is that something that supernaturally is imparted to you? I've affected the body today. I've affected my brother, my sister. I'm not happy, Lord. I missed it. Forgive me. Is that your experience over the body? Because it should be, if you walk sensitively before him. Very often we have to go back to one thing that shows the problem here, is the cross. And so often we have not settled this cross in our lives. We've given much teaching over the years about the cross and the nature of the cross, which is death to the self-life. And that is what the cross will do. Again, that is a supernatural work, so that yourself does not get in the way, so that you can be free 24/7 to seek the kingdom and what pertains to it. This very meeting today, the very fact that we're in this room, is an indication that it pertains to the kingdom and what we're seeking and looking to. So we can take heart in these things. It's not always negative. But God speaks to us like this because he loves us and he wants you to experience this walk with him. Because no other religion can do this. Only the Christian faith can impart a real living God to you daily, every second and moment of your life. All these other religions are trying to get to God through works, or they're trying to deal with sins. You see, what Jesus did was he dealt with sin, not sins. The sin is that you and I were separated from the love of God. So reconciliation is not only a forgiveness of sin that caused that rebellion, that turning away, that independent of spirit, but it brought us back, united us back into oneness with Almighty God, and that is supernatural, and that is an experience that changes, that revolutionizes your life, your mind, your thinking, your circumstances. Nothing is the same anymore. You are that new creation in Christ Jesus. We are his handiwork. So whatever your life before you were saved means that now you've given your life to the Lord, you walk as a disciple, you've surrendered to the oneness of the body of Christ. It is a willingness on your part. You don't have to do it. You may, yes, you'll make it into the kingdom of God. But if you love the Lord and you are experiencing that love and you want to be part of the restoration of the true body of Christ coming back together again in these last days, then something within you will willingly want to surrender to the body of Christ. The same as Jesus surrendered to the cross in his life so that you and I may be reconciled back to the Father, so we, in a sense, we surrender to the oneness of his body so that he can reconcile, he can bring back the light into this dark world that the church should have. For we are a light that is set upon a hill, the scriptures tell us. The church in part over the centuries has almost lost that light. She so lives like the world does. But God is changing all of that. He is bringing us back, restoring us. This is why I make so much about we're in the times of restoration, being restored back to the divine pattern. That's why we see in the scriptures that in the last days God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We've had the former rain, we're now coming, being ready for the latter rain before the Lord Jesus comes to rule and reign. Now, this surrendering to the oneness of the body, it doesn't mean that your personality is going to change or your soul and everything. You are still you. I'm still me. Although God is working with us, he's changing us. So it doesn't mean that. It simply means that there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We surrender in the spirit to the unity and oneness. We get a clear indication of this, of course, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, of which it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that is what it means. It means we surrender by the Spirit into that unity and oneness. It means that I am willing to surrender my wants, my needs, what I want to get out of it all. I am willing to surrender to become a slave, a servant to my brothers and sisters in my identification in the body of Christ. I am here today to serve. And that should be the motive, the heart of our fellowship and coming together. It's not about me. It's about whether me being a hand or a foot is going to function in the body today. So often, you know, we come and we think, well, what use am I? I just come to the meeting, or I come into the room. I don't feel I'm a leg or an arm, or I don't feel I'm doing anything. Well, who are you listening to? Because that is exactly what the powers of darkness want you to think. They want you to think that the very fact that we come together makes up the body of Christ. There would not be an anointing, the unction of the Spirit, set over the body if we didn't come together for the purpose to teach, to instruct, to encourage us and admonish us. It wouldn't happen. So there, for a starter, that reveals why it's important that we come together, you come together. And who knows, one may have a prophecy. Who knows, God may move through you for a healing for a brother or sister. Or God may move through you to pray a prayer or intercession. It's whether we're open to be used. That is the question. And it doesn't mean to say that we're being used every time, but we're available, we're there. And that's the whole point. And so this idea of surrendering to the oneness means that your personal interests don't get in the way of the unity and oneness. In other words, they don't take priorities. We're all here seeking the kingdom of God. We're not here today in a meeting, but in your mind thinking, well, I shouldn't really be here today. I should be out doing something else. Or I should be going to work today. Or I should be with the family. Or I should be helping somebody out, or whatever it is. I shouldn't really be here today in the meeting. If that's your thinking, then there's no point being here. You've come with the wrong motive. We're here today because it's no mistake. We're here today because we're absolutely settled. That is where I am. That is where I want to be. That is where God wants me. And this is where I am fulfilled the most, glorifying God. That should be our motive. The question is that your experience? Only you can answer that. And that's why we have to be honest to God. We're so often running away from the Lord, aren't we? But you know, when God hones in, you do the opposite. You run to Him. The scriptures tell us if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. He's not drawing near to you because every time God puts a finger on an area of your life, you're running away. And so He can't heal you. He can't change you. You're not experiencing that supernatural empowerment to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. Why? Because you're running away. And so when God highlights, when he touches areas in our lives, no matter how you feel, whether you've been offended or you feel that pride is rising, just run to him. Run to him. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's going on. I run into your presence, Lord, because it's in your presence I am changed. It is in your presence you answer my questions and so forth. As I said, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So many Christians don't draw near to God, and their life reflects it. It's sad when he's ever calling us to come closer to him. So there we are. You know, God just knows. He knows how to pinpoint these things in our lives, doesn't he? And you see, the institutional churches haven't a clue about all of this, what we're talking about this morning. They live their lives quite independently from the body. They attend church when it suits them. They plan their own lives without any consideration of the church, the unity, the oneness. They give to the church financially when it suits them. And it just goes on. They think it's their democratic right to agree or disagree with the word of God, the teaching, or the minister. Many refuse to willingly submit and surrender one's individualism to the oneness. See, our relationship to the body and how we function is an indication of my relationship to Jesus Christ. So my attitude towards the body, these meetings, is a clear indication of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your being, you love his body. And that, brothers and sisters, is a supernatural work. It's an empowerment. It is something that goes completely over and above your flesh, your mind, your thinking, your intellect. Because in the flesh, we will never do this. It's not even in us. So it is the Lord that takes the initiative, is it not? You see, many today have a mindset, well, I don't like that body, I don't like that church I go to, so I'll try somewhere else. And that's what goes on. So you've got a lot of Christendom going from one church to another, one ministry to another, and we wonder why there is such confusion in the house of God. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't make mistakes. He never does. You see, the revelation is that the body is an organism. And that organism has to be experienced. You see, most want an organization. Because with an organization, you don't have to be so committed. I can hide in it. I can sit at the back. I can come and go when I please. Is that what you want, brothers and sisters? Is that what you really want in your heart? You want this as an organization? Because if you do, you won't find me as pastor. That's not what I was called for. See, looking back in, as we bring this to a close, looking back in 1 Corinthians 12, where it says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, it says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. You see, as I keep saying, the hand or the arm or the leg is identified with a particular body. The arm is of no use away from the body. That is why our fellowship, our unity, our oneness is so priceless, is so special. How many times have we experienced where just other things have got in, family, commitments, you name it, where it stopped us from having a meeting or coming together for a meeting, only to find that your day or whatever it is was a disaster? How many of us have experienced when we said no to these things, I'm going to the body, and when we get there, we find what a blessing this was. I needed to be here today. That teaching was exactly what I wanted to hear. Or I came today because God healed me. And if I hadn't have come, I would have missed out. Have you experienced that? I have. And if you've experienced that, then that is an indication of the supernatural power of God working in your life. Some of you, I'm not sure, experience that. Because that is a sign. God's baptized you into that to function. When an arm is removed, it dies. And that's what happens. And so, you see, all of this sorts out those who are disciples of Christ and those who are not. I said at the beginning, this walk is a supernatural walk. Salvation is a supernatural working in our lives. That new nature that God recreates within us supernaturally. And what is that nature? It is His nature created in you through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, His nature, Himself in you, loves His body, loves His people. In nature, He surrenders, just the same as He surrendered to the cross. All we do to it is just yield over to the One who lives His life in us and let Him live His life. Let Him take over and stop resisting that life that is in you. And we will experience more and more of the supernatural working of God in our lives. We're going to see that healing power flowing out of our hands. We're going to hear those words given to us in testimony. He's going to place that boldness upon us when we don't compromise for the sake of the gospel and the love of God. He needs to continue to supernaturally change us in FGA. And I include myself in this. I am desperate for it. And this is why He's speaking to us like He does, because He loves us so much. But He is the only one that can do this. So, there we are. We've talked about this today. I trust that you've been blessed. What is our experience of identification with the body? Only you, brothers and sisters, can answer that one.
In the love of Jesus.